I don't think, well, I think that they love comfort more than truth. That's the point. They are really comfort lovers. And there's something intrinsically uncomfortable about the reformation of understanding coming with truth that comes from seeking. The seeking and finding of the seeking and finding and integrating of truth itself is uncomfortable or challenging or effortful or not easy, not pleasant. And the 3D mind, 3D repeater psychology, or people who are 3D repeaters or not polarizing positive, negative, have a real aversion to that discomfort that's normally associated with spiritual seeking and finding truth. And therefore, they are very satisfied generally with lies and falsehood until they discover it is, or until they discover that's why they're suffering. And so I wouldn't say they like to be lied to, but they like comfort. And in general, lies or deception, falsehood that doesn't require one to make effort to free think, to for free thinking or independent thinking or critical thought, those are preferable. You know, comfortable lies or easy, unchallenging information that confirms what I already think I know, or what is easy for me to accept and understand and live by. That's preferable to truth in general. Yeah, well, that's seniority by vibration, right? This is, well, you see, that's a very deep point there, actually. Not only is there some shock that, oh my God, this is the cream of the crop, these are the most evolved 3D souls in the sector, in this area of the galaxy, who would be, who are closest to harvest ability. What does that implies? Obviously, that there's a whole pool, soul pool, of other beings, 3D beings, who are not even this developed. That pool in this sector of the galaxy. Now, that's a deep point because it sort of implies that perhaps this is a sector of the galaxy in which there's a very significant percentage of repeaters. And that's why Orion has such a foothold, and that's why we're here. And if this 7 billion is the cream of the crop, or are the most developed, how many more 3D repeaters in the sector are less developed? Another 7 billion? 100 billion? I mean, do numbers even mean anything at this point? You know, are there 7 billion separate souls here anyway? You have 7 billion bodies. Does that mean we have 7 billion different or distinct evolving mind-body-spirit complexes? Not necessarily. Perhaps there are many more elsewhere on other 3D planets in the sector, or I guess, throughout the galaxy, that are also that are less developed and even further from harvest ability. That's a pretty shocking idea, you know. But that may be the case, and that sheds light on some of the deeper matters here, like perhaps there is something anomalous going on here in the sector, or in this region, or the seven solar systems. The sector of the galaxy, I would say, is the seven solar systems, or the linked seven that are related to ours here, as Ra said. The region of the galaxy would include not only the linked seven solar systems, but more solar systems, in my view. Perhaps in this region of the galaxy, or perhaps we're talking about, the whole, this whole zone of spiral arm in the Milky Way galaxy has a whole lot of 3D souls who have a hard time getting out of 3D. Well, my sense is that the Logoi guide, the Logoi and the higher self guide evolution of three of we're talking about the guidance of collective soul evolution for regions of the galaxy for 3D level souls of different disposition, some who are positive, some who are negative, some who are positive, very much close to harvest, some are negative, very close to harvest, and then those who are unpolarized, who are straight out of the animal kingdom, and those who are nearly polarized. So we have all different levels of the three types of groups. The management of all that is done by the Logoi in association with the higher self. My sense is that that process involves equal measures or regular measures of collection and dispersal, bringing them together in a certain environment and then taking them apart or dispersing them based on their vibrational quality or their degree of soul evolution. So they may come all together, so you get this total mixed situation here, and then some who are positively oriented of different degrees would go off to positively oriented 3D societies of different levels. Those who are negatively oriented here, high and low, some of them would go to highly negative 3D planets, and some of them would go to mixed planets. And the same thing with the non-oriented, depending on their tendency and their karma and this and that. So this is a collection or a joining phase for the management of this group of 3D souls in the region, in this region, the galaxy, and it will lead to a dispersal phase, where you basically join and separate, unite and separate and divide. And so that it's not that they're always put together like this, but this collection of this particular collection is what was determined helpful, potentially helpful to each of the souls and the different types of souls in this region for right now. This kind of thing. It's not that it's always, they're not always put together in a mixed 3D planet like this. Comes and it goes like that. Negatives are really clever, so they know all the tricks, or they're learning. And so hiding in plain sight. And the idea is that if they take possession of all that is horrible, meaning they engage in all that is horrible and deceptive and frightful and ugly and perverted and sick, and of all the lower vibration, lower chakra blockage conditions. Anybody who doesn't want to be there can't know it. If you don't want to, if you don't want to vibrate in harmony with those vibratory frequencies associated with, all the blockages of all the psychopathology of their mind and their activity. If you don't want to feel that, you won't end up knowing what's going on. And so they're hiding in plain sight behind a, pearly smile, a toothy smile, and expensive clothing and this and that. And nobody really knows what's going on, I think, mainly because people are not, people don't want to go there in terms of awareness of evil and disgustingness and wickedness and perversion. Somebody asked me recently, what religion are you do you belong to? And when I said no religion, they just can't get it. It's like if you talk about metaphysics, they don't know that that doesn't mean religion. So they think anything non-physical or metaphysical or spiritually oriented in concept or view is being a member, it comes out of being a member of some cult type religion. That's all they can imagine. Oh, yeah. People, I mean, the negatives have done a fine job with brainwashing here. They deserve credit and that's just the way it is. I just read this somewhere. I forgot who it was. Some smart cracker said, let me see if I can find the quote. Something like, and maybe it was Machiavelli. Yeah, these guys always change their quotes. Something like Machiavelli said, something like, the deceiver will always find those willing to allow themselves to be deceived. The deceiver will always find those who will allow themselves to be deceived. So anyone who's a deceiver, like all those who love power and dirt, they will always find people who are willing to be deceived. And I think, I mean, I never knew this principle before, but the negatives capitalize on this. If you treat everybody like idiots, and you basically, lie to them continually, and you treat them like they're stupid, a significant percentage of the people will comply with how you expect them to be. They will be idiotic and gullible and willing to be controlled and tricked, and become stupid. Because to a certain extent, a lot of the humans here, they basically never got love from their mother and father. I mean, this is what's going on here. This is, I'm completely impressed with Howard Storm's vision that the main task of the future civilization was taking good care of their children. Because that's exactly what's not going on here. That is the basis for the distortion, basically the low immunity to mental infection, infectious mental distortion. The humanity has low immunity to infectious mental distortion, meaning they're easy to become infected mentally by various distortions. Anyway, they're just very, very clever. And so if you treat people like idiots, a certain number of people, percentage, will comply with how they're treated and be that way. And if you lie to them and tell them, the sky is green. Of course the sky is green as you look at it and it's blue. And they'll say, everybody knows the sky is green, don't you? And a certain number of people, percentage of people, will say, yeah, right, the sky is green, okay. And they will let themselves become the way that they're being treated. They fulfill, they conform to what's expected of them. And what's expected of them is that they are stupid, foolish and undiscerning. That's what's expected of them. That's how they're treated. And a significant number of people will become that because they want to please their daddy and their mommy. Well, this is what happens when there's a deep level doubt or rejection of spirituality, is that people conceive of themselves not fundamentally different than animals. It's a self-animalization process, or identification with animality, with physicality. If you really don't know about soul or karma, reincarnation, higher dimensions, higher self, plan, multiple lives, and all that, if you don't know it, and you don't seek to know it, or you outright reject it, which most people really do, then you basically are left with animal identity. A beast on two legs. Not a hell of a lot different than the way the negatives treat them. So the negatives treat them like animals, like goyim, right? Like cattle, Gentile, sheep, sheeple. They're treated that way. And because they've been taught to reject religion as archaic, as superstition, as square, as old people's stupid view. Then they think they're modern, cool, and hip, and awake, and are easy prey, easy pickings for the deceiver. The deceiver knows how to control them, based on their ignorance. Absolutely, it's the cult of science, the cult of modern science, or the cult of scientism, which basically comes down to rejection of all that is non-physical. Because, although there's no proof of, metaphysical ideas or a universe mainly which is invisible to us, for sure there's no proof. But they take the view that there's no proof as proof that there is nothing. So, absence of proof is not proof of absence. Yeah, well, like Heraclitus said, people, although the common, the universal or the logos is valid for us all, people act as if they had a private intelligence. Or they act as if whatever they think is true. And that's a very, I mean, this is all very deep level, these are deep level principles to how the negatives have established the matrix here, the matrix of deception. And yes, indeed, traditional religion became patriarchal and oppressive and dogmatic, controlling, negative, corrupt, wicked. Yeah, so people rejected it rightly, yet what they end up with is, godless secular humanism, which ultimately becomes animalistic commercialism. Feed my body as a consumer, enjoying, the fruits of modern consumer society. That's the purpose of life. There's nothing more to life than that. And so many people really live that way. That's it. And it's maybe they were decent parents or maybe decent grandparents, and they worked hard and made sacrifices and provided for the material well-being of family for decades, and that's great. But that's not enough. Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, I just did what my parents told me was the good, right way to live. My father told me I should work hard, and my mother told me I should take care of my wife and my children, and that's all I did, and that's so what's wrong? I always kept a roof over your house, and I paid for your college education, and I didn't beat you. What else do you expect? People are where they are, or they have, we all have the limitations we have, and we have the awareness we have, and the biases and the views. Because in some sense we can't do better than where we are. We can't do better than that. We may be a total mess or deeply ignorant, but that's the best we can do. That's the best we could have done that got us where we are. More is always possible, but people do the best they have with what they've got. And in many cases, because there's really no standard, society
Right.
doesn't really respect the highly virtuous and highly intelligent and highly benevolent. Absolutely not. I mean, you should bow down for the monk and the nun, but basically that's the person who's following rules, and they don't know why. Absolutely. Yeah, you see, the funny thing is that the troubles that we face, that are both metaphysically determined by being in third density bodies in space-time, and being in amidst this soul group of repeaters and negatively oriented folks with all of their failings, cuts down, of course, on the possibility of a heavenly experience. Or an experience akin, congruent with what we had before. This is not heaven on earth, because of Basically, the souls that are here. I mean, it really could be actually heaven on earth, but it won't be because, you have non-oriented and negatively oriented souls, and that's the end of that, as far as I can tell. Because of that soul mix and their free will, the ignorant allowing the negative to harm them and all of us somewhat, because of that, any kind of a collective heaven on earth is really not possible. And we face, the complex of all of their distortions and failings and the problems they create for themselves. While it's normal to first be angry at that and then bemoan it and get depressed or discouraged or disheartened or hopeless even, it can all be seen as training. And the training is basically letting go. Okay, this body is going to get mildly poisoned by their food. This body is going to be harmed in this environment. This mind is going to be susceptible to distort the ocean of distortions in which we swim. And this is not a vacation, and this is not heaven on earth. It's not hell, unless we make it, but all of those deficiencies and shortcomings and the troubles and the distortions and the poisonings and toxicities and evil activities and all of that stuff basically gives us a chance to let go of attachments more and more and more. And so there's the attachment to healthy food. There's the attachment to beautiful body. There's the attachment to freedom from aging. There's the attachment to perfect soulmate union. There's the attachment to, loving community. There's the attachment to, I can't live without my beloved. There's the attachment to, I want to understand all things. I want to be in control of my body. I want to be in control of my life. I don't want to meet, blockhead, shithead, fool people. I don't want to be in the lower realms. I don't want to go around, I don't want to hang out in hell. I don't want to hang out with the hungry ghosts, but they're here, in body even, meaning the mind is like that. All of those very normal desires associated, which basically then are attachments, because we have the sense we have an emotional charge when they're frustrated. So when there's an emotional charge, at frustrated desire, even if it's a holy desire, I want to stay in the formless realms. I want a beautiful body. I want to understand perfectly. I want to, play musical instruments perfectly, whatever. Even though these may even be righteous desires, their frustration provides an opportunity to let go of further attachments and go through the emotional charge, so as to, handle it and be well again or come back to balance again. In this world, thick with distortion. So distortions, collective delusions and harmful patterns of thought and feeling are is basically infection at the mental level. And then the infection or toxicity at the physical level is in the food and the water and the air and the soil and the clothing and the packaging. And home building supplies, all across the board. And the result of that is that this body will age faster than it has to and get to be ugly and non-beautiful. And illness is waiting around the corner all the time or lurking in the body all the time. And that's just the way it is. And we even if we find, even when we find, the people that we may know, some of them are from our home group. And yet we can't make a perfect, joyous relationship with them just as we had before we came here. That's the funny thing about a soulmate is, in a way, it doesn't matter because even if you found him or her, we couldn't make good on it. We couldn't make use of it or cultivate that perfect union perfectly. That's the very great irony. So even with soulmates, it's sort of almost a sense of it's okay, for I have the view, it's okay I don't have her or the beloved here. Because even if I did, or even those that I've met that are in that category, and I've met actually a dozen over my life, more a few more than a dozen women that could have that are from my home group or that I could have married, or they in some way are definitely, home group higher dimensional soulmates in some sense. Maybe not planned to marry in the incarnation, but certainly of sufficient metaphysical compatibility for that. Even then, they got their stuff, I got my stuff. They got their distortions, I got mine. They have their places they can't go. I have my patterns where it's obstructive, they're obstructive, I am, they are. And that's the field in which we live. And yet all of that tremendous that whole game board of lost, of broken pieces, the incarnative game board of law of broken pieces and broken potentials, is also yet another chance to be free of emotional attachments and what we think we need, and to make peace and w with it, and to reach to a deeper place within, to return to well-being and even joy. All of that's very, very possible if we see, the multitudinous deficiencies and distortions and toxicities of this world and society and physical environment as an opportunity to be more free, as spiritual, as training, as an opportunity for self-training. Well, that's the thing, is that our helping is really helping when it's balanced, but their self-helping is determinant and determines whether they're going to grow out of it or not. And so we really are helping, but that helping is just very limited when the person doesn't want to go into their pain. And that's the thing, it's about going into pain, facing the shadow is painful, or acknowledging one's faults or one's weaknesses or one's being obsessed, obsessions or negative control, being controlled somewhat. That's painful to admit and to look into. Yeah, actually, there's something called the transfer of merit in Buddhism, and it's a metaphysical process whereby one person of greater love light vibration transfers or transmits that to the other, and just as you say, the person can use it, but perhaps not in this lifetime. And that's another principle to me, which is a great deal of what happens in this lifetime cannot be understood without a deep understanding of karma and reincarnation. And it's no surprise that the negative leadership control systems in religion and society and science don't, they throw those ideas out immediately, which, prevents people pretty significantly from understanding what seems unjust and unfair and unreasonable and undeserved, this kind of view. So much of this life really is the result of karma made in past lives. There really is, I've said, there's a kind of what I consider what I term a kind of mechanical aspect to karma, where there is sort of a choiceless balancing of the books that's necessary. And it definitely can be that prolonged suffering in one life is just what's needed, is just what, the Dr. Atman, Dr. Higher Self, ordered. because it doesn't, the person simply has to experience a return of the energetics or some metaphysical quality that they had mistakenly put out before. And when it's taken or experienced in this life, there's no need for it to happen again. And it's like the clouds, the thunder clouds have to dump the rain. They just have to. And the sky would be clear afterwards. Well, that's some of the karmic metaphysical basis for respect of the law of free will that all positive beings and higher dimensional positive groups do. So the law of free will, called the law of karma, or the law of confusion, because respecting their free will is actually respecting the evolution, the sole evolutionary value of them working their way out of their own condition by themselves, rather than a person giving them something that would allow them to bypass the needed growth or growth needed to work it through themselves. And so don't take away, my hospital pain, said the character in 2150. I'm not finished with it because allowing me to go through this pain and confusion and suffering will be recognized at a soul level as a kind of detachment or final severance of my tendencies to cause myself pain. The causal basis of this pain hasn't been uprooted yet, and further pain and suffering that I myself go through is the only way, or the fastest way, actually, the fastest way to be done with my attachment to the causes of it, so that I don't cause it again. And can move to greater causes, more skillful or beneficial causes. Question, point, I don't feel I suffer. I think the thing is the personal evaluation of our state of being, meaning am I suffering or not, is very much a function of depth or acuity of perception. When a person is very perceptive, you will see that there's much more suffering than you thought. I mean, that's a deep Buddhist understanding. That's my view. You'll have to check it yourself. But my view is when you look very carefully, you will see that there is more distress or dismay. You can say that, situations that need to be handled and resolved is a challenge. There's a certain amount of distress or stress or dissatisfactoriness or difficulty in mind based on having those situations. Of course, that's called dukkha. So there are, there are many levels of dukkha, suffering, or stress in Buddhism. And this, facing those situations, anybody can decide. Anybody decides it. You decide your own sense of it, and I decide my own sense of it. It's not that, from the view of higher self. Higher self has its own view of what dukkha or suffering is, and then we have our own view, and our own view changes over time, and our view changes, I think, proportionally to our degree of sensitivity. As we become more sensitive at all levels, or more levels, more fully sensitive, we're more keenly aware of dukkha. And so, who decides? It's not a kind of clear question because it's who decides what suffering is, establishing what? Establishing, it's not that the higher self wants us to suffer, but difficult, karmic return that we associated with pain would be considered necessary for a kind of karmic balancing. But our sense of what suffering is is very fluid, and will change with increased sensitivity. basically. But I just say I had an experience of, I talked about this before, of being in a monastery, Japanese monastery, and very austere, and sitting in for hours in the cold zendo, zen meditation area, and looking forward to lunch, and then in the middle of eating my lunch, I realized the emptiness of the pleasurable taste sensations in the middle of eating it, and realized, oh my God, there's nothing here either. Meaning, if I don't keep maintaining the thoughts of, oh my God, I'm so happy to eating. Oh, it so tastes so good. Oh, it's so great. I'm so happy to be eating now. Oh, yes, wonderful. If I didn't have those thoughts, but I looked into the sensations of the taste, I found emptiness. I found nothing. And then I thought, oh. And so it was suffering to realize that what I had been looking forward to was insubstantial also. No self. And so, anyway, suffering changes in time. So anyway, thank you very much. I hope it was useful for you. See you next time, and good night.